open your mind real wide now.
Freaking out, man. You are freaking out, man.
Music and radio producer DJ Michael Motion is with us here on the Mothership Radio Show. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, we met a few months ago, and I told you about the show, and you had mentioned that you had some really cool stories about ghosts, and I had said, anytime you want to come on, let's talk, dude. And you're like, all right. And then, you know, all of a sudden you hit me up a few weeks ago, and we coordinated some time, and now we're here. So I'm kind of curious as far as what went through your mind as far, you know, as wanting to tell some of these stories. Are these have been around for a long time with you?
They have been. And I think it was the fact that when we met and we just started talking, I had never told anyone that kind of thing. You know, I just because it never really comes up, I guess, in this world. So I was pretty intrigued by it. So
right on. Well, I'm thinking, you know, as far as like not, you know, wanting to tell the story, is it because, you know, there's really not an appropriate time to bring it up, you know, or is there, you know, because this isn't something like when you meet people that always want to be the first to tell you the story, right. You know, it's usually more BS than it is real, because usually it's right. The ones that are like, I don't want to tell you because this is too.
Yeah, it probably just never came up. I mean, right. You know, I was never, you know, I never got the chance to say, hey, I got a UFO story. Right. You know what I mean? Check this out.
Right.
Until it just hasn't came up, I guess. Yeah. So when you brought it up, I was like super intrigued. You know, we were talking about it. You told me a few stories on some other guests.
Yeah.
And yeah. So and then a couple months after that, I think, and I was driving out towards whatever beach that way. I'm pointing that way. And I was in the car, and I was listening to the podcast, and I was just like, hey, this is awesome, man. Let's go. You know, there's people that actually want to hear these stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's, yeah. So that's... I was like, called you up.
A lot of times when, you know, you, especially for me, when people ask me what I do, mm-hmm. I can't tell them I don't talk about this. You know, this is what I do. I talk about aliens and ghosts. And so I mean, even though I don't really have too many experiences in the field, I can bring that out.
Yeah, people, you seem, you know, so chill, just laid back, like, okay, dude, okay, tell your story. Dude.
Right.
Which is great. You
know what I mean? Yeah, no, thank you. I hope I make people feel comfortable, you know, and to be able to open up about their story or whatever happened to them, because I want to know, you know, I'm curious about these things. I want to know what's going on out there. So for you, I want to know, when was the first time you had a paranormal experience? And these are ghost stories, correct?
Sure. Well, I'll start with this, man. Look, you can make whatever you want out of this. So title it as you will. I grew up in a mortuary.
What?
I was born in a mortuary in Linwood, California. Douglas Mortuary. And so
when you mean grow, what do you mean, like the house was literally,
it was, yeah,
on, we lived, site,
yeah, no, yeah, it was on top of the mortuary. So at the bottom they would do the services that people are in there,
and you lived on,
we
above
lived
that.
Above that, yeah. And so like literally like it was the, wow, the only apartment. There was two apartments up there, but ours was the one where you were in the kitchen and you had a squeaky closet, and the stairs led down into where the dead bodies are laying. So
who was the other apartment? Was that somebody else?
It was like the manager people, okay, that you know, but they're, you know,
some random person.
Yeah. But I mean, I have a lot of siblings. So it was like, we were all playing, running around, you know, we used to lose our ball in the caskets and have to go and chase them down and stuff like
that.
It was part of growing up,
right?
You know, and
it didn't scare you at any time, or did it make you feel kind of like, this is kind of creepy? Because it probably not, since being a kid growing up, it was normal for you.
Yeah, it was totally second nature at that point. I was so used to it. I mean, there was scary times. You know, it's like, no, you go down and get the ball. I'm not going. I went last time.
Oh my god, totally.
But at the same time, it was normal. Like, there was an old couple that used to work in there, and they were the ones that were cleaning the bodies, and we were really good friends of theirs, and we grew up around them, so we'd hang out with them as they were working and doing their thing on the bodies. We were just hanging out, and
while they're working,
yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to wear any masks, obviously.
No, well, I hope not. But yeah, and then my dad was in charge of, you know, going down there every night and cutting the light switch on and off for the building. So, you know, we'd go into the deep crevices of the mortuary. And
wow, man.
And yeah.
the people, you know, cleaning the bodies, did they show you things?
Now here, an incision has been made. The ribs have been sawed off, allowing us to remove the breastplate.
I mean, nothing like that. But I would see these clear plastic bags, really thick type of bags, I remember. And there was some red bloody stuff in there.
Oh, gnarly!
And what was your age again about this time?
I was born there until I was 10 years old.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I spent my first 10 years of my life was there.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. And what was the first experience you remember, and how old were you?
Well, there was a lot of that. Mostly there was a lot of, more of a feeling that was involved. Not so much of the visual stuff. The first time there was a visual event was, I was probably around 6 years old, and there's seven of us. I have five sisters and a brother, and you know, so there's a lot of kids in this little two bedroom apartment. And so I'm sleeping in the living room, and where I'm sleeping, the top of my head is facing our kitchen. And so I don't know why I wake up. I got to say it's around 2 a.m. and it's super dark in there. It always was for some reason, you know, it was way in the back of this lot. And so you hardly got any street lights, you know, back in there. So I wake up and I just happen to feel something behind me. You know, it just felt that you could just, you know, I'm here. You know, you're not in this room by yourself. You just kind of know that as a human being. I don't know. There's a feeling.
You're right. You should be able to have that feeling.
Mm-hmm. So I just had, you know, and it was a scary feeling type of, you know, it wasn't normal. So I just wanted to look back almost like as if I didn't, but I had to type of thing. And right in the center of the kitchen, which is even darker back there, there is this figure. It was a white female figure right in the center. And there is some movement, but, you know, it's pitch black around her
like a silhouette type of
silhouette
thing.
Yeah. And then right under the knee, you could still see pitch black. So it was just kind of floating there, floating right in the center
and
of our kitchen.
Just a figure of a woman.
Of a woman in a white, just, you couldn't really see detail within the white, but it was a white silhouette.
Hmm.
Uh-huh. So I make sure, you know, I stare at it and I'm totally freaked.
Yeah.
So I just lay back down. I turn around and close my eyes and I freak myself even more. Uh-huh. So I want to look back, you know, I definitely want to look back. And so I do. And yep, sure enough, it's still there.
Did you remember seeing any expression on the person's face at all? Or?
No face and no detail. It was just definitely, and it was defined. It wasn't like, there's a blurry figure or whatever. It was pretty defined, but there is no detail inside, almost like it was like an aura. There's no definition.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You could tell it was a
silhouette. You could tell it was a female silhouette.
I'm wondering, you know, you're at a mortuary, you know, there's a lot of dead bodies there. It would seem normal that there are spirits flying around just because, I mean, you're also a cemetery too. You're not just, right? Is that right?
Well, not so much a mortuary. No, they would not so much a cemetery. I'm sorry. They would have the services there, clean the bodies there, bring them somewhere else.
I got you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's no resting of dead bodies in this
place. But they were in there quite some time. There was a few that were in there for a while at a time. I mean, this was happening in 10 years. So there was always a service going on almost every weekend. This is a bad neighborhood, mind you. So
saying these aren't old spirits, what you're saying, these are younger spirits or younger bodies, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, I think it could have been any one of those bodies. If something's hanging out, then it's just hanging out. If something was just there because it's like, hey, I don't really know that I died yet.
I would think the spirit would be where the body died. That's where I would think You know, that's why they leave the crosses on the roads, you know, sure. or the flowers in the streets, wherever you see them.
I totally understand that, but I don't buy it. Yeah. I don't buy it, but I totally understand
that. If you feel no matter, like it's where the body is put to rest, or at least not even put to rest in it. At this point, it's not, because this is the service point.
Sure.
This is where the body is appreciated, I guess you can say, right? Mm-hmm. Or the person is appreciated. So maybe that energy would be there at that time because of all the people that would, you know, bring
but
you
at
there,
the same time, that But I mean, you're thinking of this as if there was a process to the afterlife. And there might not be.
We don't know.
So, hey, listen, if I, you know, if something was to happen, I'm chasing my body down, man. It doesn't matter if, you know, if I lost my life 5 miles away or whatever, and my body's like over here, I think I'm going to follow the body and just be like, hey, this is my body. I'm not dead. What's happening?
An ideal situation for sure. Yeah.
So maybe it could have been somebody's body was there. The silhouette was standing right at the top of the stairwell where our kitchen had stairs to lead up to the.
How old was the building?
This house
been there forever? Or?
It's been there for a long, long time. Yeah.
And was there? Do you ever think or look back and think about any hauntings since then, or have you ever kind of maybe called them up and? Maybe that could be your homework now. Call him up and say, is there any strange stuff going on there?
Look, man, at that point, it was totally second nature to me, and it was just the way of life.
Right.
Now, I would not step foot in there at all.
So let me ask you about the other siblings. How many of them were into this, or maybe I would say, let's go the opposite route. How many of them said, I'm not buying this stuff. I got to get out of this place.
No, every one of us has their own stories. For sure. And it's not even something we talk about. We just kind of understand that happened to you. Okay. Yeah. We get it.
Right.
You know, we each have kind of
Well, you mentioned this is the visual ghost sighting that you remember at 6 years old. What other events happened to you? Did you ever have any kind of physical markings or, you know, attacks or anything like that? Has that ever come through that place or anybody in the family at all?
No, not that I know of. Right. No, not definitely not for me.
But you said you had another event or something.
I do have another event. Yeah, this is a more of a UFO event. You're ready for it?
Oh, look at this, man.
I'm ready for this?
I was down for all the ghosts, and now we're moving to UFOs. Of course I'm ready for this.
Spread it on!
This is only my second story. So basically, I mean, yeah, I was driving down the street. This is 2 in the morning, maybe 3 in the morning, actually, because I was coming back from Norwalk at my girlfriend's house at the time, and so I'm driving my 1994 Acura Integra down to 105 freeway and with the moonroof. So that plays into the story too.
Just so you know, I had an 88 Acura Integra with a moonroof. Silver.
All right.
Nice. All right, so you're cruising down the street in your Acura.
Mm-hmm. In my 94.
Cruising down the street in my 64.
And so I see this bright light, and you can tell it's just not an airplane, it's not a star. It's not the moon. It's not anything, even the type of light that it was. It was more of a fiery type of bulb.
Like an orangey kind of look to it?
Yeah, yeah. With some blurriness around. I don't know. Okay. You know, it was kind of like that. And so I'm driving. I'm staring at this, and I'm approaching it. I'm going down the highway, and it's getting closer and closer as I'm approaching it. So it's not very far up. And, you know, I'd say it's got to be only about no more than 1,000 feet up in the air. So as I'm riding and I'm almost going underneath of it, it drops this droplet of fire right from the center of it. And it just starts coming straight down, trailing off almost as a comet would be, but this is coming straight down from this bulb in the air. I mean, I'm watching it. I'm seeing this. I'm driving and I'm going home at 3 a.m, right? I have to pull over and I'm thinking something just fell here. Right. I saw something fall on the side of the freeway. Like I totally just saw that. I pull over the freeway.
You're on the freeway.
On the freeway.
For people listening, this is California. You don't really normally pull off the freeway unless you really have to.
No, especially at 3 a.m.
Right. Was it pretty empty at the time?
It was. So I pull out on Paramount Boulevard. I know exactly where this happened. And I can't find anything. I don't see anything. I'm thinking this is a significant size.
You literally thought object. It was like right in front of you that this thing dropped.
And it really was. I was approaching it and it was, about 1,000 feet up in the air. it didn't fall directly on me. So I pulled off. I said, this is the general area where this object would have been. There's nothing to be found.
Right.
Nothing at all. You know, I called my girlfriend. I'm like, I pulled over the freeway. I saw something fall from the sky. She's like, go home, dude.
When you pulled over, was the glow still there or did it disappear too?
That disappeared too. And it was disappearing. I say that because I actually went underneath of it. I happened to pass it. And then I got off the freeway. So as soon as I went off and passed right underneath of it through my moonroof, I saw it go by. And then after I pulled off, it wasn't in the air anymore.
It was gone.
It was gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you just saw something, like you said, a drip kind of drop out of the bottom of it. And
little fireball, if you will.
Wow. How long ago was this?
This was over 7 years ago. I know that for sure. So between 7 and 10 years ago.
This was in Norwalk?
This was coming from Norwalk, driving into Los Angeles, city of LA.
I hate to give you more homework, man, but actually, you know,
I'm here trying to figure out what that was. I'm here to ask you what.
Well, so I'm saying the only thing that might be a good idea would be to look up and back in the day and look up sightings to see if people did check it out.
So usually do that kind of thing. That would be, you know, with other people's stories and stuff like
that. Who else saw this?
Yeah, and
need verification.
I remember not finding anything. So I was hoping you had an answer. For
no,
me.
Man, I've heard the story of the orange glow. Seems to be kind of a. I mean, I've heard it more than a couple times, but I have heard them and. I've heard this before. I've never heard the dropping from the bottom and, you know, kind of like a comet fizzles out a little bit. But being so close to it, too, which is, you know, that's interesting to be that close to it and have that kind of experience to know that where it would drop would be somewhere that you can actually pull your car over to see if that's where it was.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the movie The Blob, you know.
An old man finds it, touches it, and this is the shocking result.
Totally. But I mean, I just had to know. I had to know what it was. I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
Right.
I've seen something totally different, and I don't even, you know, I'm not even sure what it was. I can't say it's a UFO. I can't really. Who knows?
Well, you can't say it's a UFO because it's unidentified. And it was flying.
With the answers. There you go.
That's just something, if anybody ever says to you, they don't believe in UFOs, like, that's impossible. Of course you do. You see it, right? You see something. You just don't know what it is. So, yes, you have to believe in what you saw. You might not say, you might be able to say, I don't believe in, you know, alien aircraft.
Sure.
Michael Motion with us here. DJ, producer, music and radio. Sharing some stories, and I do appreciate that. I mean, thank you for doing so. You're going to hang because we're going to have a really cool story to get into another witness testimony. We're back to that, and we have a story about a theory of alien life in our own solar system and some FAA tape of a pilot who saw something that was it was identified. He doesn't know what the hell it was. But we'll talk about that as well as that maybe it's real later on with Jay-Z. So the Mothership Radio Show, I don't even know where to go here with this music. I'm thinking Ghost, but you ended up with UFO. But I haven't done Ghost in a while, so I think Ghost Town is appropriate.
Let's do it.
One of my favorite bands, Shiny Toy Guns is the band, and it's right here on the Mothership Radio Show.
UFO just one. Mic off, or I haven't an object in front of me. I don't know what it is.
You mean like a drone or something?
Don't know if it's a drone, but it's bigger than a drone.
All right, well, mic off. I don't show anything on radar. Looks like it's at your altitude.
Affirmative.
Do you need to turn or do anything?
I might need to make a slight left turn.
That's fine, sir. And then I guess whenever you can, just let me know what you think it is.
Will do.
May 26, 2018. That happened at around 1 p.m. local time in Huntington, Long Island, New York. That's a Piper PA-32R Saratoga airplane flying in that area and seeing something that he didn't know what it was and calls in for like, hey, are you getting this too? So we get a lot of these things, you know, this is flyer, you know, people in the sky as opposed to being on the ground are going to see, I think, a lot more than on average, I would imagine. Michael Motion's with us here on the Mothership Radio Show. And
at 6,000 feet, I don't know that any drone goes up that high.
That's another thing, too. Right. I mean, at a point, is it a military drone now? is that where you get across the line?
And something like that would definitely pop up on a radar.
Right. Right. They would at least be able to call something out and say, I see something. But, you know, I don't know. These technology, you know, laden drones, are they anti, you know, radar? Stealth drones, are they out there right now? If the stealth plane is, you can imagine that they have stealth drones. Possibly. We don't know.
They have the answers.
They do, and we don't. We're searching for them here. And so is this guy. He calls back to the pilot.
November 1, Mike Alpha, is still not sure what it was.
Now it's gone behind the clouds. I have no idea what it is. Definitely something was there.
Okay, I mean, I have to assume that it was a drone. That's doing, I mean, I don't know if that's a safe assumption or not, but I guess that's what we'll go by.
Actually, it looks like it had lights on it.
That's really interesting. Again, still show nothing on radar, so I don't know what to say.
Okay, and I'm not delusional.
Well, I'm glad he didn't say drunk, you know, because yes. He's flying a plane. He said lights on the drone. And last week I just talked to Dale Hendrickson, and you can listen to that podcast at the Mothership Radio Show on SoundCloud, where we talk about UFO lights and the reason for them having them. What is it? You know, I mean, what do they need them for? What's the purpose of them having light? Is it for us just to see them in the sky?
If you're maneuvering like that in the clouds and, you know, moving out the way when this big airplane is coming towards you, you have the technology to get by without lights.
Right.
Again, why would something that's way advanced within their technology would need a light bulb?
Right. And lights would mean to me something that's going to be more than just a light on a tail of a plane, you know, those little teeny little red lights, you know, that normally are on there. I mean, I've seen drones, they have little lights on them, don't they? I mean,
I think this pilot could have been a lot more descriptive with his lights.
Right. But remember, he's not delusional. Let's make sure he made sure he said that.
I'm not dreaming!
You know, that's another twist to the tail.
The scary thing is that he's questioning himself.
He is questioning himself. Right. That's you're absolutely right. He's calling someone.
I'd be nervous if I was up there with him.
Well, think about that, right? Because you're calling in going, hey, I see something. And then the control tower is going, no, you don't. Or no, we don't see it, at least. I can see that being that's a big matzo ball you're putting out on the table when you're saying something like that. And you're hoping there's going to be a response to justify what you saw. And he didn't get it yet. So this is where it kind of turns into a little creepy twist. After the call to the tower calls back.
One of the managers here would like, when you land, and, you know, no rush, but when you land, if you could call here, and then they just want to, you know, see if you can give them specifics, any further information. But someone would like you to call. Is that all right? I'll give you a phone number to call.
This is the first time I'm getting a phone number that I'm not in trouble.
Yeah, I just want to make that perfectly clear. You're not in trouble. So let me know when you're ready to copy. And when you call, they'll be expecting your phone call. They'll know you by your call sign.
That's some Men in Black stuff right there.
Oh, they're expecting your call, buddy.
Right. I mean, all right, you know, he's seeing something. The tower's not seeing it, but these guys really want to talk to this guy.
Yeah.
And he's not delusional.
I'm not drinking!
Not at all.
That would scare me. This isn't a commercial flight. You know, this is a Piper plane. You've probably heard of these planes.
The fact that a pilot is considering not reporting this because he's getting this phone number. He's saying, this is the first time I'm getting a phone number and I didn't do anything to get me in trouble. So does this mean other pilots are going and seeing stuff like this that they're too afraid? Are they afraid to report this kind of thing?
Right, because it can put their license on jeopardy.
Well, this is the first time I'm getting a phone number.
Right.
I'm not in trouble.
Right.
I didn't do anything wrong. You guys just want to talk to me about this thing that I just saw in the sky.
Right.
How many of these pilots are out there?
I'll post the story, by the way. You can find it on the Facebook page for the Mothership Radio Show. Michael Motion's hanging out with me here, and we're talking just, you know, the strange and unusual is what we like to do here on the program. And the scientists have put out a published a recent report. It is called A Prior Indigenous Technological Species. That's the name of the report. And in the paper, the writer, Jason T. Wright, he makes an assertion that alien civilizations have been living in our solar system long before we have even come to exist on this planet. And apparently they took off, and he says that they have left these techno signatures that are, I guess, out there for us to find. whether they're on Earth or in Venus, where they where he says it's pre-greenhouse, so basically before it was too close to the sun maybe or too unlivable, as well as a habitable Mars. He says there might be some of these techno signatures around there. Be a sign of their life, of how they lived, I think. Because if they're not here anymore, either they get extinct on where they're at, or they just took off to find somewhere else to live. Like maybe what we're going to have to do down the road.
Totally.
Try to find a new place to live. I mean, Venus and Mars are these places that actually held life.
Or techno signatures.
Yeah, the techno signatures. So, you know, we leave behind a lot. But, you know, there's also been tales that we are just the current residents of the planet. You know, there have been millions of species that have lived and taken over this planet. You know, the dinosaurs before us. But what was before the dinosaurs, you know? All that has been washed away by just life of the planet, just being taken over by the environment itself, you know, moving over and over itself. So maybe down below, we will find some signatures of techno-advanced life here on our own planet, as opposed to even Mars or in Venus, until we get to those points where we can get into the inner crust of those planets where we're going to be able to find any kind of sign of previous life, because on the surface, we're not seeing anything. It has
or
to be
something totally way more advanced than we know.
Right.
If that was the case, what would you like it to be?
I'm old school, man. Give me Total Recall. I want an awesome environment button to hit, you know. That's gonna just make everybody in, you know, a green life again, you know.
Yeah.
Open your mind.
What would be cool for them to have that you would like to see?
I would love to listen to their music.
Thought about that before. I don't know, man. The future of music, you know, I remember in Buck Rogers, or I remember them partying at a bar and there was music to that.
That's not music to my ears.
Star Wars Cantina. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of music elements in certain space movies. Is there a species out there that has a somewhat of a musical interest? There has to be.
I think if there's a heartbeat, there's music. They say the hotter rock and
roll is still beating. Well, I'm down with that, man.
There's a rhythm. There's a pattern.
I definitely agree with that. I love music, too. Do aliens love music? Are they aware? Do they need music?
They love it. They rage. It's crazy. I'm open for bookings. Aliens, by the way.
Alien mosh pit.
Yeah.
Long live rock and roll.
Michael Motion hanging out this year on the Mothership Radio Show. The Strange and Unusual, found online at themothershipradioshow.com. Also on SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher. And in the meantime, we'll jam a tune. You do have a song.
So I call this the sound of the apocalypse. So I don't know if you were aware, there was stories a couple years ago, and even now, this is still happening, where people are hearing this big trumpet-like vibration in the air.
Yeah.
And you don't really know where it's coming from. So, you know, I just kind of made this, and I called it the sound of the apocalypse.
Excellent. Well, let's jam this, and we'll come back with our witness testimony. Now, for this tune, you just got to, like, honestly, if you got a pair of headphones, please put them on. This will be a good ride for you for sure. So chill down here for a few on this instrumental type song, if you will. There are some other things and elements in this song, so it'll keep your ears entertained for sure. But we'll be back right here on the Mothership Radio Show.
Vibrating noise, which builds up to a peak every so often, and then settles down again, then builds up again, and can't be pinpointed anywhere.
I actually heard the hum myself, and it is weird. It is a very, very weird, low, bassy, humming sound that's there.
Could you give us a sense of what it sounds like?
Yeah, I'll try my hardest for you. It's like a... It's that sort of a sound.
Mike decided he thought he could see it in the telescope, and he was able to do that. And when it was in one position, that it had a series of ellipses. But when you made it real sharp, it was sort of L-shaped. that didn't tell us very much. Now, obviously, the three of us were not going to blurt out, hey, Houston, we got something moving alongside of us, and we don't know what it is. You know, can you tell us what it is? We weren't about to do that, because we know that those transmissions would be heard by all sorts of people, and who knows what somebody would have demanded that we turn back because of aliens or whatever the reason is. So we didn't do that.
The fact that we are in a solar system strewn with, surrounded by, overflowing with incredible geometry, architecture, domes, artifacts, machines, living spaces, ruins of all kinds on all kinds of planets from here all the way out to Saturn. And unless you figure that in the equation, unless you understand that we have a hidden ancient history.
Apollo 11, Houston, the S-4B is about 6,000 nautical miles from you now, over.
Now, it's not the President or the Secretary Gates, head of the Department of Defense, or the Secretary General of the UN, or the Pope looking into the camera and saying, they're here. That's not how it's going to go down. That's not how it's going on. But why do I say we're in the middle of it? Because you can't turn on a television now or look at a blog without seeing an alien ET space story from some official source.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
What if I told you I'd take you to a place you've never been and do something to you that's never been done?
Usually the first thing they say is, please don't think I'm crazy, but, and they want to tell me about their alien experiences, and I'm just fascinated with that because it validates me and my experiences, plus it gives people a safe outlet to talk about it because a lot of people don't feel safe talking about these things.
Tell me I'm crazy.
It's Donna Lynn, author and experiencer, in a book, From Fear to Love, My Private Journey, released in 2017. Kind of the theme of the show, to a certain degree, of do you tell someone? Do you want to tell your story? And it's comforting to know when you talk to someone who's had the same thing as you, you tend to open up, or at least someone who was interested in hearing your story. Definitely. And that's kind of the theme we're going to go along here with Donna, who was asked to do a speech. And we're just kind of go through her little journey here of what she has to say and, you know, in her interactions with aliens, because apparently she has a close one. And when she's getting ready to go for this speech, she asked them for help.
I was standing in my kitchen one day and starting to panic because this is happening in April. And I said, why am I not getting any messages? And I immediately heard this very distinctive male voice in my right ear. And I know that to be Croat, who is my main alien guide. And he said, we do not yet know who will be in attendance. So here I'm thinking basic human things like, what am I going to wear? And the aliens have such a different agenda. They're thinking they need to gear their messages depending on who's going to be hearing them and who's going to be listening. And they made it very clear that they see everyone as an individual.
Croak.
That's her man, dude.
Yeah.
Man, that's her Sancho right there.
I can't imagine.
They're BFFs.
Yeah,
for sure.
They're very close, apparently.
They are very close.
She also has another person that's
going to talk every day.
Yeah, she's been in joint conversation with an alien being, race, or maybe just beings in general.
Oh, she likes this.
Yeah, she's really into it. You saw the video, right?
Yeah, yeah. I watched it. I watched it twice.
This is a really interesting lady because I think the story she gets into, at least her enthusiasm for the story, right? Is that kind of where you got from this? You know, she was kind of like happy to go through this experience.
I think it was a little bit more than enthusiasm. She liked this.
Yeah.
She was aroused by this.
Yeah. Maybe she was. I'm not sure. Maybe that's what you read into it. I don't know how far I got. But you know, I guess, okay, so she's asking for these messages, and now she starts to get these messages the closer she's getting to this speech.
They were waiting to see who would be listening to this message before they told me. And then shortly after that, I started waking up at 3 a.m., writing down little notes, and sure enough, I put together things to talk about that made sense, and they were geared for specific people to listen to, I'm sure.
I guess they're kind of planting the seeds in her head and she's writing them down.
She was writing love letters.
The notes that she's got
to
say.
Too old crowed.
So, you know, this is a speech somewhere at a conference probably she's going to go to. You know, a lot of people are going to be listening to this. Or it's a speech in a small room with a few people, you know. You know, she's got a book. So she's, you know, she's doing a book tour, I guess. Maybe she needs to know what she's going to be saying on this book tour. She talks about the alien visits. So she's obviously gone through this. Why she isn't scared?
The aliens, they've always approached us. Well, for many years, they approach us in a really frightening way. The stories are out there. They did it to me. You're laying in your safe, warm bed, and all of a sudden you're jolted awake, and these big black eyes are staring at you, and this face very close to your face, and you would actually be nose to nose, except they don't have a nose. It's just pretty creepy and scary, and you're just so scared that all you can do is scream. You can't even find words to talk. And I did that for many years, and I know that's happened to many other people.
So she was scared at first before she became unscared. Can you imagine, though, waking up and having this thing right inches away from your face? You know, you don't know what this thing is. I mean, that could be very frightening. And that's not the first time I've heard experiencers tell us, you know, say that story, you know, that they're right in your room when you wake up and you can't move. You know, maybe the sleep paralysis. You ever experienced that before where you're in your bed, your eyes are awake, but you can't move your body?
I had that this morning.
Did you really?
For breakfast.
Did you feel anything?
I really did. Yeah. Did you? Yeah, yeah.
That's supposed to happen. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be, or that's what you're supposed to feel. Somebody there, maybe.
Yeah.
Or an
entity. What I did, and I usually do, is I start rocking back and forth and rocking myself in my head. So where I tell my body to start moving and rocking, and to the point where it actually responds and my body starts rocking and I wake up. I wake myself up.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before. I usually like just close my eyes and like let it make it go away. Did you feel the same vibe? Remember as a kid, did you?
No, it was something different. Yeah. It wasn't scary at all, but yeah, it was definitely different.
Interesting. Donna Lynn, her name is, who we're listening to on her journey, and she continues on how she says the aliens learn to be nicer when approaching.
But over the years, they've learned from us as we've learned from them, and they learn to approach us in a more friendly way. So now, as they approach people, they try to do it in a nicer way.
And you're not going to believe some of the nicer ways are. It's pretty bizarre.
A lady from Germany has written to me after she read my book, and she said that she was approached by aliens when she was a little girl, but they terrified her. So she said, go away, leave me alone. I don't ever want to see you again. But now, you know, later years, she's understanding that they might have been friendly after all, and she'd like to give it another shot. And so she invited them back, and a little bit afraid they might be angry, they might retaliate or something, but that's really not what they do. They're just all about love and compassion, forgiveness and acceptance. They don't have revenge like humans do. They don't even think that way.
So, all right, so you invite them back, and no, I want to see you guys.
Yeah.
You know? So how do they approach themselves?
They notify you telepathically if they're going to come visit. And so she woke up in the middle of the night, and there were three gray aliens in her bedroom. And just as she started to panic, one of them stepped forward and transformed into Shirley Temple.
On the good ship, lollipop.
Which made her laugh, you know, kind of stopped her from panicking. And they actually held hands, and she said the alien felt very soft. And they exchanged messages a little bit. And then the alien stepped back and became a gray alien. And then the three of them disappeared.
Ta-da!
I welcomed the alien to Shirley Temple. I would have freaked.
I would have freaked out. I mean, you're supposed to be dead. I mean, give me something alive at least, right?
Yeah.
Shirley Temple. I've never heard that before. I've never heard. I mean, I've heard of aliens maybe shape-shifting to them, you know, in different forms. But I've never heard of a celebrity. You know, that's like, till now, this is it. This is the stuff that movies are made out of. That the alien turned itself into Shirley Temple. Of all things. This is like Ghostbusters stuff, man.
It's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Or either that or are the aliens telling this lady to tell us and forward the message and say they're friendly people and they're really, and she's really under captive. And, you know, they're just forcing her to tell us that they're nice people.
Right. We're just gonna, we'll disguise you whatever you want us to disguise you at, but we're still here to, you know, to mess you up.
Yeah.
Whatever it's gonna be. We're just gonna do it in a nice way so we don't have to, you know, bring you dragging and kicking.
I don't blame her for welcoming them. And she had a menage a trois. They was three.
Well, that'd be four of them.
So. Okay. I don't know. I was drinking earlier.
It's not a trois. She goes on about not just abducting random people.
So now they'd like to reach more the left brain people who are like scientists, researchers, doctors, because they do have technology they want to share with us. And they could download blueprints to me for a free energy machine. And it's not going to help a whole lot because I don't have an engineering background or I wouldn't know how to translate that real well. But they really would like to work with people who are more logical minded, who would understand maybe blueprints that they could send to them in dreams or visions.
Which makes sense. I mean, you want to reach a scientific mind. You want to bring someone who's, you know, smart, who can take their message and apply it somewhere instead of giving someone, you know, some person who doesn't want it.
The good Lord chose not to bless me with a fully functional brain.
So the aliens need to find someone who can take that and be serious with it.
Yeah, I wouldn't make the list.
You wouldn't?
I just don't think I'm bright enough for them.
So,
unless they want to drink Red Bulls and just, you know, stay up till 4 a.m, well, I'm down with that.
Well, I say they can always,
I can hang out.
They can abduct any kind of human being for their own hybrid babies if they want, because they can always, you know, take out the idiot gene, you know, out of,
sure,
out of the DNA. But as far as planting their own seeds and or ideas into a human brain, it can't be an idiot brain. It has to be someone who's smart, who has maybe the capabilities of taking that idea and make it into a reality. So, you know, would they be abducting more scientists that are, you know,
or maybe they just found Donna very attractive.
Right. Well, so her message obviously is getting through, though, because we're using it here on the show. You know, I mean, out of the people that she talked to during this speech, she was looking forward to, how many were there? Would we know about it? No, but now we are, because I found it online and here we are talking about it. So now more people out there listening in, if they want to find more information on it, yeah, they can find out the video and listen for themselves, the full entire 38 minutes of it or whatever, however long it is. So, you know, we like to take a little bit of it here and have fun with it. Of course, you could find more of it on our podcast version, because not all of it makes the radio. It's only limited time for that version. But we do like to continue on here with the Donna Lynn story. Again, she wrote a book called From Fear to Love, My Private Journey. So she's really into this, man. Michael Motion's hanging out with me, and he's a DJ, producer for music and radio. And, you know, she's kind of relishing the fact that she's got this thing going on.
She's enjoying this.
She is enjoying it. She's
enjoying the company,
because,
for sure.
As she said before, is that she feels the love of these aliens as opposed to, you know, fearing them, that we initially will when we first get, you know, face to face with these things, because it's not normal, you know. A few more clips here. We'll hear from Donna Lynn, and these are the ones that I want to play that are most important to me, because we just had Janine on and experienced her. She talked about being a part of a fertility program, and on the ship, she mentioned seeing these pods, I guess you can say, on this ship that she was on. Well, Donna Lynn pretty much has the same story.
When I was younger, I know they did like an egg harvesting. It was kind of like a pelvic exam. I guess they tried to make it as comfortable as possible, considering the circumstances. It would be an exam table. Croat, my main alien friend, is a 7 foot tall praying mantis. And I actually, when I was younger, I called him the doctor. So apparently he's the one who did the procedures, and he would explain things, and he would say, we're just checking on you. So I was paralyzed at the time. And that's when I was still waking up screaming and terrified. Didn't know if it was a dream, didn't know if it was real, but I'd wake up with bruises and nosebleeds. So I had this awful suspicion that this was really happening, but I couldn't really tell anybody because it sounded so crazy.
Sounds like,
until now,
Crowed. He probed.
I've had this clip for a couple of weeks. So yeah, maybe. Well, I think they all probe, don't they? I mean, that's all part of the program, isn't it? I mean, so she goes through this, and you know, I think a lot of other people are related to this. You know, I mean, they've gone through this. I've just had, like I mentioned, the story of Janine, who you can listen to her story. It's the same thing almost. She doesn't go through the detail that this lady does, but what Janine mentioned as far as seeing all these pods around her, well, this is what Donna Lynn saw.
They took me on a tour once of this room, and at the time I was convinced it was a warehouse, and it had big jars of pears three jars stacked on top of each other, but giant pears, and they were attached with hoses and tubes, and there was a whooshing sound through this whole warehouse building. I couldn't quite place what it was. It sounded vaguely familiar. And then when I woke up the next day and I was writing it down and I was thinking about it, it occurred to me, those weren't pears, those were fetuses. And that whooshing sound was the sound you hear when you're pregnant and they put the Doppler machine on your belly and you can hear the whooshing sound from the umbilical cord and the mother's heartbeat. So those were jars of fetuses.
Check, please.
I'm sure you've probably seen sci-fi movies where they've depicted, you know, aliens creating beings in pods or whatever it is. Body snatchers come to mind a little bit.
I mean, these beings might be living amongst us now.
Right. Right. What are they creating? I mean, it's obviously part her. What's the other part?
I'm here for the gangbang.
Is it like the guy they abduct? They take the sperm from him and then, like I said, remove the dumb gene out of it?
Sure.
We at least we hope. At least we hope. The final clip here from Donna Lynn is, why do they show her everything?
I don't really know what their end game is, what their final plan or outcome is for. If they're populating another world, if it's for our future, I really don't know. And I can ask all kinds of questions, but they're not very forthcoming with the answers. And often I'll ask a question and they'll say, it is not yet time for you to know. Like maybe eventually they will tell me. But especially with the giant pears, the fetuses, I was very interested in what are they doing with them? Why are they going to take them somewhere? Why did they even show me? But they just were proud of their work and wanted me to see it. But that was about the extent of the knowledge they'd share with me about that.
You decide for yourselves what this is all about. That's what we do. We place it on the table. If you want to eat it, that's up to you. But it's there, and you can find it online at themothershipradioshow.com. We're on Facebook, and we'll all have links to the videos. And you can listen and check for yourself and decide for yourself if it's real or not. But maybe it's real coming up when we come back with Jay-Z, I'll tell you that much. We got Michael Motion hanging out with us here, and we got a song because I love Steve Miller, and it's about time we play Space Cowboy.
That's a good one.
So we'll jam that. We'll come right back here, and we'll wrap up the program with Michael Motion on the Mothership Radio Show.
Dozens of United Airlines passengers claim they saw Jay-Z shapeshift into a reptilian as the rapper and music mogul traveled between New York City and Los Angeles. One witness, writing about the experience on Twitter, said the hit the fan in business class when Jay-Z lost control and began shape-shifting in front of the other business class passengers. At one point, just before the plane began its descent, Jay-Z scuttled off to the bathroom, where he spent at least 10 minutes, according to another eyewitness, before emerging with a pale, drawn expression, and then immediately began shape-shifting again, with the eyes of the entire business class cabin fixed on him.
I thought he said pal, not a pale, when he came out. You know, BS. I'm calling BS on this story, first of all. I'm just not buying the story, but how do you pull the business class flight from New York to LA as Jay-Z that everyone saw Jay-Z shapeshift into a lizard?
He's got 99 problems, but shapeshifting is not one of them.
I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
Well, maybe it is because it took a while for him to do it. I mean, he's having an issue.
He's glitching out, man. he's getting pissed and pissed, and he's just getting even more mad, and he's just shapeshifting. He can't stop himself.
He is glitching. That's exactly what's right. And 10 minutes in the bathroom, probably that's a long time, I guess, on a plane for business class.
Do not go in there. Woo!
Maybe it's real.
I think it's make-believe. I think in this time of age, you'd see a lot of phones coming out.
Definitely. Someone's going to video it.
Right, right.
It's going viral.
So how do you get away with this kind of story? Or why do you try to get away with this kind of story, you know?
It's not going to happen. You know what people do?
What?
Like and share.
Right, because it's just weird, it's different. And then maybe you set up a couple fake Twitter accounts and you have people put the Twitter accounts up.
Exactly how we came across this story.
Right. I mean, look, I'll give you the online sources. AliensDocs.com. AliensDocs.com. If you want to see for yourself where I get my source, I always put them out there for you guys to decide on where to go with this story here. But there's a video that goes along with it, and it's an electronic voice, you know.
According to one passenger, Jay-Z's reptilian form is a shrunken version of his human form. Describing reptilian Jay-Z on Twitter, the passenger wrote, "He looked sickly, about 5 feet tall, like a hunchback crossed with a bird, but with scales, and a really negative vibe. Another witness described him as swaggering around, evil, gray, a asterisk king reptile.
And that is the whole problem with aliens, is you just can't trust them. Occasionally you meet a nice one, Starman, E.T., but usually they turn out to be some kind of big lizard.
Hang on. I gotta stop. This would be front page news, man. There would be a screaming passengers coming off that plane as soon as it landed. There's nothing else I can see coming out of the story. This is like such BS.
It really is.
All right. Sorry. Sorry to waste your time, everyone, but we had a lot of fun with it.
As Dirt Off Your Shoulders is playing in the background.
Is that
one? It's a Jay-Z song.
All right. Yeah. See, I wouldn't know that, but thank you for being here, because I think that's why you're here, man, to know that song is there, and I'll play it in the background. as we finish the song. Michael Motion, thank you so much, man, for joining me.
Thanks for having me, man. Yeah. This is fun.
Absolutely. I'm glad you shared your stories as well. That's earlier in the show. You are a music and radio producer, a DJ here in Los Angeles, and Michael Motion, and you can find him online. You want to throw out an Instagram page?
Sure. Everything's at Michael Motion, Instagram, Facebook, SoundCloud. You can find my music on Spotify under Michael Motion or Apple Music, Amazon, Google Play, iTunes, all of that. You can check out some of my music there.
Very cool. All right, well, you guys do that, and do that on your own time, as now we are going to say goodbye for another week, and we'll get lost in another dimension, another black hole, another porthole we'll find that opens up in the sky. Feel free to go through it and tell us what happens on the other side. We'll talk to you next week here on the Mothership Radio Show.
Thank you, and keep watching the skies.